God loves when we take his inspired thoughts, that's why we sing the Psalms, in the areas that we need, and we spiritually and physically, as the author said, retort them back to God, speak them back to God. He said it, pray it to him. And Jesus has said, I'll give you everything you need for a life pertaining to godliness. I'll care for you. I'll watch out for you. I'll shepherd you.
How to pray. Do you know how to pray? Do you know what it means to pray? Do you really know just exactly what prayer is for you as a believer in Christ? These are questions we're answering in our series called How to Pray. We invite you to join us today as we continue our look at prayer from God's Word. Today, how to pray our Father in heaven and just exactly what that means. Here's Pastor Chris.
When we're in Christ, that scary understanding of the knowledge of God, the psalmist had no fear of it anymore in the sense that God is against us. He understood perfectly God is for us, and that nearness, that covenantal nearness, that gracious relationship that's in place has now produced a sense of real peace between us and God so that we get to enjoy him this way in prayer. Enjoy him. And so then when you come to the New Testament and it's constantly calling us to prayer, you'll notice that in most of the cases when it's calling us to prayer, it's always preceded with what? Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Think of 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. You have this perspective of the Lord's favor to you, his blessing upon you, his care for you, his love for you. That has created pure and lasting joy in your hearts. And now that nearness means you can talk to him and he's not against you. Prayer seems to be, to me, sandwiched between the call to joy and the call to be thankful. Joy, thanksgiving, all immersed by prayer. Now again, to challenge us a bit, I think there are certain things that prevent us to pray. I use John Payne's, again, excellent lecture this week, where he gave five reasons, because he had a whole lecture on prayer that providentially I was able to sit there this week and listen to. And he had five reasons that he said people generally don't pray, or people have a hard time with prayer. And I think they're right. Well, the first one he said, it was just simply spiritual apathy that fills us. You know that over time, it's easy to grow apathetic. Apathetic in our walk. There's the problem of pride and self-reliance, isn't there? I mean, it is absolutely true. When Jesus said to his disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. If truth be told, we're often in the course of life so running around busy, we're trying to do this ourselves. And there comes the anxiety. And that's a form of pride in our lives. Because prayer is the best posture of what? We're going to look at in a minute. Dependence. He also mentioned here habitual unrepentant sin in the course of our lives. There are besetting sins that happen. And besetting sins, things that happen in the course of our lives that we have chosen to walk down paths. You mentioned pornography. It most certainly has an effect on prayer. You won't be doing it. Guilt, you know, certain sins, especially that sin, it has the effect of utterly making you feel dirty. And why would anyone dirty want to talk to God, right? See what it does? Satan loves that. Satan loves to do that to you. Fourth one, he said, is you're crazy busy, using Kevin DeYoung's book. Fifth one, he says the challenge also is worldliness. And I'll confess that. When we're so into the world, the things of the world, the love of the world, it's hard to pray. So I think you have to realize the struggle of it, as Peter did when he had an intention to love his Lord, but found himself, and Dr. Clark had a great message the other day on Romans 7 about the things that I will to do, that I don't want to do. That's that constant struggle in the course of our lives, and that is discouraging, isn't it? Discouraging. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, the Lord calls us to pray. Remember, it was Jesus' words when he said, in the hardships of life, I want you to pray and not lose heart. And he told a whole parable of a little widow who had been robbed and stolen from, and the Lord wanted you to, her to know and you to know he cares. Why do we need to pray? Notice what's said here tonight in our Heidelberg. What a beautiful statement, isn't it? Because in all of your distresses, needs, and anxieties, you can go right to him and he has for you something wonderful. Grace and the Holy Spirit. What an encouragement to pray. I have grace for you and I have the Holy Spirit for you. I will give without measure more grace and the Holy Spirit. I'll pour out to help you. You'll remember in Romans 8, where you had that struggle in Romans 8 of not even knowing what to pray for as we ought, as we groan inwardly in all of the struggles of life. It is the Spirit whom the Lord gives us who then overtakes prayer. And guess what he does? With words that you don't even hear or groanings without that can't be uttered, he begins to pray for you in you because you often don't even know what to say. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? So prayer, as we looked at tonight in this particular section, has the particular benefit of putting us on our knees before God in a posture of dependence. That's the other thing that's so important, isn't it? Why we need to pray. Because we're the most independent people we can be. In church life, in life, in everything, we're doing it ourselves. Prayer is the greatest expression in the Christian life of dependence. Satan's out for you. Satan's shooting darts at you. He's got a lot of minions to do it. He's got a lot of devils to do it running around. And I love what one pastor particularly said, that there is nothing more troubling to the devil, nothing makes him tremble more than when a saint who is facing trial and temptation falls on his knees before the living God to pour out his heart to him. The devil is terrified of such a thing because he knows the triumphal grace that will come down from the throne upon the weary soul for deliverance, and what it means for him is defeat again. It's a pretty good reason to pray, isn't it? Another defeat comes. God knows what's best for us. You should never hear these calls to prayer as something that's a burden. What the Lord is doing is not laying a burden on us. What the Lord is doing is he knows what you need. He helps you constantly, even when you don't pray. He's that good to you. But he knows what you need, and he knows this is what you need to often get through this life. It's a help to you. It's an aid to you. It's a resource. The Westminster Confession even goes so far as to call it a means of grace. We would say a little more informally. It's an imperative for the Christian life because you need it. The Lord knows what's best. He knows everything. So the whole emphasis here then on the necessity of prayer, why we need to pray, it's because the Lord is, number one, willing and able to help you in all of your distresses. He desires to help you. He's willing to give you the grace and the Holy Spirit for all of these things. Now, we begin to move then into what is essential to true prayer. What is essential to true prayer? And I love what Lord's Day 45 says. It's so beautiful. Listen to this. First, we must pray from where? The heart. Calling upon the one true God only who has revealed himself in his word for all that he's commanded us to pray for. That's what we're going to look at in the coming weeks. Second, we must know thoroughly, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. And third, we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord as he promised us in his word. I like that. Because it outlines for us what pleases God in prayer. I think it's important to say today, notice how prayer is treated. People go through something tragic. Aren't you, if you're older and don't have a Facebook account, bless you. You know, bless you. But if you do have a Facebook account and someone goes through something tragic, what are you seeing all over the wall today? Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Sending prayers. What is that? Sending prayers to who? I don't get it. Thoughts and prayers. It's nice, but what does it mean? Is prayer just used? Do you really believe that's happening? It's kind of the default thing we say, I'm going to pray for you. And we should. If we're going to say it, we should, shouldn't we? Do you know not all prayer is heard? A prayer of an unbeliever is not heard. You know that. Whatever is not from faith is sin. I think of Proverbs 28, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. David even went so far as to say, and we're going to sing, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That was protection for him at times. But then there are those prayers that are just irreverent. I think there's two dangers here. There's the danger of the holier-than-thou prayer, where we use all the old King James language to sound very holy. Lord, thou who hast made the heavens and the earth. Spurgeon's heard a seminary student doing that, and he told him, stop it. Because it came across so artificial. It came across so condescending. And no more did you ever think God was near, right? No more did you ever think God was near to his people. God was way up there somewhere. But then there's the other problem. I don't want to be overly judgmental, but you know, you have to critique things. I was in a coffee shop and a dear brother, sincere. But the prayer was so irreverent that I couldn't get it out of my head. God, we just expect you to do something big here. You see the other extreme? God, we just. And Lord can be so overused that it becomes a vain repetition this way. We expect you to do something miraculous. Just intervene, God, and take care of it all. And I thought to myself, I appreciate his zeal. I appreciate the sincerity of what he's after. But the brother needs help. The brother needs help. And that's why we study this. The prayers can be so superficial that they lack any knowledge of Scripture. They lack any understanding of who God is. And we're talking to him irreverently. So you see the two dangers here. Notice here the way that Lord loves prayer. First, from the what? Heart. The Lord shows us this everywhere from the Scripture. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, fervent prayer. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Read some of the intercessory prayers of the saints in Scripture. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17. Did you hear Hezekiah tonight? That was a heartfelt, beautiful prayer that understood his God, that knew his God, confessed him, you made all this. Deliver us, Lord. It wasn't a long prayer. How about this one? In those days, Hezekiah became sick, this is the next chapter, and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. Behold, I'll heal you. He healed him. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I'm adding 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You hear that? From the heart, I heard and I answered. It's sincere. It's a cry sometimes in the midst of distress, dependent on the Lord. Second, your prayers have to acknowledge your need and misery. This is what bothers me most today about the prayer, the lack of this confession. I used to listen to the radio, and there's this absurd notion out there in the evangelical world that you no longer as a Christian have to ask for forgiveness for your sins anymore. That has been taught regularly on the radio for many years because Jesus already forgave him. So why are you running around asking for forgiveness if Jesus already forgave them? And that would be true if you no longer sin anymore. But you know what sin does to you, right? It makes you feel dirty. It discourages you. And we're still in the fight, and we're prone to new evils, and sin disrupts the relationship. What do you, when you sin, where's the last place you want to be? Church. You give up. You feel like giving up. The Lord's not holding that against you. He's inviting you to prayer so that you will be honest and open for him so that he then will answer and assure your heart. That's the benefit of this. He delights to assure your hearts. Think of what happens together as we come together and worship and we confess our sins. And then what do we do, boys and girls? What do we do? We pray to the Lord, and then what comes right after that? Son, forgiven are your sins. He wants to declare that to you. Prayer. Come to him. But as Bunyan said, your sin can keep you from coming. And you can avoid that. Think of Daniel's prayer. We'll close here. I don't want to go too much longer, but I want you to hear Daniel's prayer in distress of his life. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. And here it is. Listen to this. Just a few sentences. Lord, my great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We've sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and have rebelled. We've turned away from your commands and laws. We've not listened to your servants, the prophets, a whole different spirit than what we saw in Acts 7 today, isn't it? Who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we're covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you've scattered us because our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings and our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we've sinned against you. And listen how it goes on. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We've not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. Here's how it ends. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. That's from the heart. Lord, forgive. Hear and act. For your sake, my God. You're my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Beautiful. It's beautiful. Finally, tonight, the Lord wants you to know we pray that we should pray even though we don't deserve it. He promises you he will hear your prayers. He'll hear them. He is calling us to have faith when we come to him. What James says, don't doubt. He loves you. Don't doubt. Don't be like a wave of the sea. Pray in faith. We're going to unpack in the next weeks what God commands us to ask. But notice here, everything that you need for body and soul, he cares about your bodies. He cares for your souls. Everything you need physically and spiritually, all of it, he invites you to come to his throne of grace. I close with this. This is my favorite quote on prayer. And I hope this encourages you tonight. This is what we're going to unpack here in a few weeks. Prayer is nothing but the promises reversed to God's word formed into an argument and retorted by faith upon God again. In doing that, it brings ultimate comfort. Did you understand that? One of the best ways to pray is to take all that God has promised. You know how many promises are in the scriptures, boys and girls? They're everywhere. That he loves you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he cares for you, that heaven's reserved for you. I mean, I could go all night. Take those promises and pray them back to him. This is what he's inviting you to do. Look at all the stuff happening in the world and in the church and in your lives and pray the promises and watch what happens. He'll comfort your hearts. He'll strengthen your lives. God loves when we take his inspired thoughts. That's why we sing the Psalms. In the areas that we need, and we spiritually and physically, as the author said, retort them back to God. Speak them back to God. He said it. Pray it to him. And Jesus has said, I'll give you everything you need for a life pertaining to godliness. I'll care for you. I'll watch out for you. I'll shepherd you. You have a Savior right now who prays for you. You have an intercessor for you who every step of the way when he was on earth prayed for you and will not lose you. So why not talk to him? Do you notice Stephen prayed right to Jesus this morning? Did you notice that? As we begin this series on prayer, consider how important it is for your life. Consider that it's a necessity for the Christian life, for what God has to strengthen and help you. And consider that God has told you tonight that it is a great avenue in which you may communicate with him and rehearse and learn and pray his precious promises. And may this beautiful ongoing dialogue between you and your covenant God, your gracious King, bring you the peace that the scriptures say is yours in Christ Jesus.
Amen to that, huh? Wow. So that is the start of our series on how to pray. Next time we get together, we are looking at the prayer, Our Father in Heaven, and just exactly what that means to be able to call God our Father. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful to give us inspired scripture all over by your Spirit that teaches us to pray. And that you don't want us guilted into this, but that it would be the natural response of a heart that understands that you're near to us, that you love us in Christ, and that you will certainly hear because of him, and that you've made a way for us to come right to the throne of grace without a priest, without a pope, without anything like that, but right to you in your Son. Give us more grace in the Holy Spirit that we might be more of a praying people. We need it, and we need your help even to do it. Guide us then in it this week. Let us talk to you and to praise your holy name, that we would more and more hear the blessing of it, that it would be sandwiched as it is with a rejoicing life, for you're near to us, a thankful life, that we would be a people always praying and talking to our wonderful covenant God. Receive our thanksgiving tonight for such a wonderful day in your house, blessing us with your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.